500 was called for, it reminded me of the CD that I was listening to this morning coming down the road. Elder Carol Newman evidently had been at Bethel Washington on Friday and had called for the song and wanted to hear it again on Saturday, but didn't call for it, but one of the other brethren did, and he was talking about how thankful that he was. We live in a world that is full of decay and sin, and we look around and we see different things, like Brother Jamie was talking about looking at the mountains on the way up. Well, I think I made the statement last time I was among you folk that when I get out on the road, I wait till the mountains are in view to start calling upon God for His mercy. You just look at the handiwork of God. And if there's an ounce of belief and salvation and thanksgiving in your heart, you've got to praise His name. We look at sin and violence. The folk that were shot at the Annapolis Publishing Company. I live right near there. My wife and I were married in Annapolis. And it's not supposed to be that bad. It's Baltimore that's supposed to be bad, but they have a solution to everything. They're going to sue the government, the oil companies, because the water is rising. The duck boat accident. I have a different slant on that. I don't know if the rest of you heard it or not, but one of the survivors said, "We were told we did not need the life jackets." I suppose tomorrow that in the pulpits of America, it will be told to people, maybe millions, that Jesus Christ is your life jacket. If you just reach out and take hold of it, you'd be all right. Captain of that boat said you didn't need a life preserver. Well, my captain told me I can't do nothing either. My captain has told me that it's finished, that there's nothing I can do. We've heard much about Jesus Christ this day. I would like to take some time, and I never say anything about how much it might be. It could be 8 minutes, it could be 28, it could be 108, I don't know. What we need to do today is remember that text. It said, "We see Jesus." Back in the third chapter of Genesis, the Master is prophesied. In the 9th chapter of Isaiah, in verse 6, it said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and a government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." All these years before that Jesus Christ would be born into this world, Isaiah, under the inspiration of God, tells us that a child is born and a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And the name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I would ask you this afternoon, what does the name of Jesus Christ mean to you? We come up with all kind of names, and there's all kind of names listed in here, and they're all true. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's the captain of our salvation. He is our elder brother. He's our prophet, priest, and king. And he's the Almighty God.
Yes.
Some might leave that out, but he is verily God and verily man.
Amen.
Were it not so, there would be no salvation.
That's right.
In Jesus Christ. But he's verily God and verily man. And we find here that the Lord has all of these names. He has all these attributes. You've already heard it. He knows your thoughts are far off. I've heard of ministers that went out to be alone. You might be alone as far as people's concerned, but you never alone, because God goes everywhere you go. At least you better hope that he does. He said he's promised that he'd never leave us, never forsake us. But that child was born that was prophesied. And again, I don't intend to spend a lot of time on each verse, but my point today is, if I have one, is to talk about the fact that Jesus Christ, we look to Jesus, and Jesus, all through the scriptures here, it points to him and it talks about him.
Amen.
The shepherds in Luke 2 went and found the Savior. The angels were calling out, "Glory to God in the highest on earth, peace, goodwill towards men." But the one I want to stress here and to read is in Luke 2, beginning at verse 25. Here is a man that was told of God, "You shall not die until you have seen the Lord's Christ." This is a man that was waiting for the consolation of Israel. We're told the Holy Ghost was upon him.
Right.
And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up him in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy words. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." We have seen, we have testimony of those that have seen the Christ child. We have testimony that he came. We believe that he came on time at the proper time, not a nanosecond too early nor too late. We believe that everything is ordered of God and it's unchangeable as far as we're concerned. You might say, "Well, why should I pray if I can't change God?" You don't pray in essence to change God. You pray to change yourself. Think about that. I go to God and I ask him for all sorts of things, for other folk and for this poor boy standing here. But at the end of it, I say, "Not my will, but thine be done." Brethren, if you pray according to the will of God, there may be a change, but it won't be in God. It'll be in the one that's praying. Because they will realize that the God that created everything that you see, created the whole universe, every species of animals. And I neglected to tell you that when I go walking, I go out in the park where there's deer and groundhogs and rabbits and squirrels, birds, geese. That's where I like to go. And I go walking through the park crying out to God and thanking Him for His love and His grace and His mercy. First of the week I went out walking and I asked God, let me see some of thy critters. Now, I don't know what God calls them, but I called them critters. I said, whether they're little or whether they're big, it doesn't matter to me. I just love the handiwork of God. And it wasn't 20 seconds later till there went a groundhog scurrying down the field. Our God hears our prayers. Simeon was full of the Holy Ghost. And he had this promise. You shall not die until you have seen the Lord's Christ. Somebody asked, well, how did you know that they was going to take the Christ child there? It's a silly question. If God promised him he would see him, he'll be there. You don't have to send out an invitation to every meeting. Most of us have a little system. We know. God is much better than that. He can work in the hearts and souls of the comatose, the ones that's got Alzheimer's. My God can work and none can hinder, and He hinders and none can work. He has the power, my brethren, to make a dumb ass speak. Certainly He can make us talk. People seem to try to limit God. You cannot limit God. He said, let there be light. It was. For some strange reason, in the town of Westminster, Maryland, they had a brochure for the Shenandoah Valley. Reading that, if I believed it, I would think that a billion years ago, or many billions, there was an eruption down in the earth and all these mountains came up. Then the plates got agitated with one another and they started this and one went up over top of the other and created the big mountains, you see. Brethren, I kept it because I want to see some of the dates and things. I didn't keep it because I believe it. Because I believe that God created it just the way He wanted it, and He created it when He wanted to and how He wanted to. I don't believe anything about any billion years to start with. I've said this before. If you get past about 6,000 years, you just go on by yourself. I'm staying back here. That's all's in the book. And I've actually heard people from the pulpit say the day wasn't a day back then. Did not the Genesis account say the evening and the morning were the first day, and the evening and the morning was the second day? And it went on and on. And darkness came first, by the way. And if you got a problem with that, just let me ask you about your spiritual life today. What come first? The darkness of nature? No, no, no. It did, but the Spirit came later. You were born in darkness.
Right.
You were born in sin.
Right.
You were lost worlds without end. But God, in His mercy, as you've already heard expounded this morning, for reasons known only unto Himself, chose this one or that one and the other one, and not the whole human race. And he didn't do any violence to those that were not chosen. He simply showed abundant mercy on those that were. But Simeon went in there. And I want you to think about this, because again, if I have any theme, it's seeing Jesus. He picked up that child that we're told is like 8 days old, which is the time they took him for circumcision. He picked him up. He said, "Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Went on to say he was a light to the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Joseph and Mary had a little problem with that, I think. But be that as it may, that's the way it worked. And we're told in John 19, and this is when Christ was on trial. John 19, verse 5, Pilate said, "Behold the man." Pilate found nothing that Christ had did amiss. But those that he came to, as we're told in John 1, 11, he came to his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Now, brethren, talk about a gift. He gave us the power to become the sons of God. But he said, as many as believed. Belief comes from God. It's not something you can conjure up. I don't believe the account of the making of this country here. I believe everything that's in here, whether I understand it or not, because it's from the Creator God, not from some scientist. Many years ago, they had a volcano, and they went and got the rock, and they tested it, and they said it was millions of years old. And the volcano was just like a week or so ago. Now, I don't know how it got to be millions of years old that quick. I do. It's because they wanted it to be that old. They found bones that they claimed was human. They were not. They wanted them to be human because they wanted us to look different from what we do now. I don't think God had any problem with creating a man. I don't think he had any problem with making a woman. And yes, we were made out of clay. But anyway, Pilate said, "Behold the man." Now, this is before the cross. Matthew 27, verse 36, it says, "Sitting down, they watched him there." Sitting down, they watched the Son of the living God hanging upon a cross, impaled with nails. Crown of thorns had been put upon his head. They sit and they watched him. The brother said this morning, if Jesus Christ came in that door, he would be the first one back there. I don't know if that's true or not, but I know he would make the attempt, as we all would. But here, his own people, those that were called by His name, His chosen nation, they're the ones that cried out, "Crucify." It wasn't the Romans calling, "Crucify." And they took Him to the Roman court for the simple reason that they had crucifixion. The Jews would have stoned Him to death. But remember, He said, "If I be lifted up, will draw all men to Me." Which meant that He had to be crucified. Death by stoning would not have done it. But He said, sitting down, they watched Him there. Can you imagine the scene that was before them? The Son of God that left the high chimes of glory to come down to this low ground of sin and sorrow, to suffer, bleed, and die, and give His life that we might have life and have it more abundantly, was impaled upon that cross. And they were telling Him, "If you be the Son of God, come down."
There's no ifs about my God. The two thieves, same thing. If you be the Son of God, come down and we'll believe you. I'd ask you a question this afternoon. Would you believe him if he had come down? No, because he told us he was going up to Jerusalem and be crucified and buried and the third day rise again. He had to be crucified. If he had come down, we'd be in bad shape.
Amen.
But anyway, that one thief, I just love that thief. Not only do I love the thief, but I love the Savior that did the work in him.
Amen.
Showed the power of God, the electing love of God. There's one here and there's one here. And I think it's one on the right, by the way, because he always says to the right, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world." But he said to that one thief, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Oh, but the thief had had a change. Worldly religion tells you you got to go out and knock on doors and give out tracts and invite people and do all these alms deeds and all this stuff in order to work your way into heaven. Brethren, you could live as long as Methuselah and work every second and you're not one iota closer to heaven than you were before. It takes the electing love of a covenant-keeping God. That thief, far as we know, had never been to church. He didn't know anything about religion. But he did say, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Have you ever been able to cry out, whether it was a loud voice or a soft one in prayer, "Lord, remember me"? Oh, I have. You can pray for everybody on your prayer list, everybody that's asking. You can go on and on and on. But finally, you've got to say, "Lord, remember me." And we need prayer. They said, sitting down, they watched him there. They watched the Son of God in pain and in agony. And cared nothing for it. They put the master upon that tree. And he died. And they thought that was the end of it. Now again, we're talking about seeing Christ. Old brother Stephen, in the 7th chapter of Acts, he started off pretty near in verse 1, best I can remember. New Bible, it's really hard. Yeah. Stephen started out in chapter 7 in the 2nd verse, and he told them all the things that God had done for the nation of Israel. How he parted the Red Sea. How he done all these things. How he fed them with manna. All these things Stephen said. And evidently he preached with such power that they couldn't stand it. They stopped their ears and run away. But praise be to the holy name of God. We're told that when they saw Stephen, he had a light about him. The Spirit was upon him. But nevertheless, they stoned him to death. But this is our God. Verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God. And Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God."
And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now think about this. This is a deacon, if you will, that preached with such power that they stoned him to death. But the thing I want you to take away from this is that when he was being stoned to death, he saw the heavens open and the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand. Have you ever seen the glory of God? We see the glory of God in His handiwork and all that He's done in creation. But to see the glory of God like that, you heard this morning about Moses was put in the cleft of the rock and he saw the hinder parts of God. Stephen was blessed to look up and the heavens were open that he might see. And he saw the heavens open and the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand. Oh, what must it be like to die and see the Son of God in all His Shekinah glory, high and lifted up and exalted, if you will. He came, meek and lowly, was treated terribly. Mistreated is a better word. Mistreated in everything that He done by all that He came in contact with, except that little band that loved Him, the Marys and the disciples and all those. The disciples weren't real good. They abandoned Him and said, we go fishing. He told them after 3 days He was going to come back. There's nobody waiting at the tomb. I mean, millions now go out on Easter Sunday morning and watch the sunshine come up, the sunrise. Nobody was there to see my master come out of that tomb. Nobody. And he was already gone anyway. He was already out of that tomb before sunrise. We're told that Mary Magdalene came to the sepulcher before daybreak. Those are my words. But it was before the daybreak. And he was already gone. None I needed to see my Lord come forth. They stood at that cross as we've read to you and watched Him in pain and suffering and agony. Lifted not a finger. For the most part, raised not one word of opposition. Just sat there and let Him be sentenced to death. Matter of fact, begged for it from Pilate. And what'd they say? Lay this upon us and our children and our children's children. It was. Oh, it was. Let me just tell you, when you do harm to the Son of God and ask that it be laid upon you and your children, it will be. But anyway, oh, Peter saw Him like that. Heard a little bit this morning about what are we going to be like and who are we going to know. This is pertaining to what I'm trying to say the whole time I've been here about how we see Jesus. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And that's in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. We're going to see him in all his power and all his glory. And we're told that we'll see him coming in the clouds with power and glory. That's how we will see Jesus. Right now we see through that glass darkly, but then face to face. I've told this story, but maybe there's a couple here that didn't hear it. A well-known radio TV preacher was asked what he was going to do in heaven. He said, same thing I'm doing now, teaching God's children. We're going to see him as he is and be like him to be satisfied. We're going to know as we're known. What on earth could another used to be mortal teach you? And the answer is absolutely nothing. We're going to see the King of glory. Know as we're known. I believe today that my God and Jesus knows me entirely. And the scripture says we'll know as we're known. To me that implies or directly says that we'll know. Now I'm not like some of the brethren. I don't spend any time trying to figure it out. There's no need of trying to find something that's not in the book other than what I just quoted you. You see him as he is, be like him and be satisfied, and you know as you're known. I'm not going to try to figure out who all am I going to know. I'm going to be satisfied however many it is. If it's everybody, that's fine. I don't know if I'm going to know people I've never known in this life. I don't know that, but I don't spend any time trying to figure it out. I'm going to see Jesus in all his glory. That's what we're supposed to be striving for, begging for, and hoping for, and have that sweet trust that we're going to see him in glory land. And then when it comes time, as Brother Bill Stevens would say, to press the dying pillar, we'll have that sweet confidence that to be absent from the flesh is to be present with the Lord. Which is better? Sometimes we talk about the fact, how are you? Well, above ground, getting around. That's great. Naturally speaking. Spiritually speaking, not so good. But we need not rush it, because the glory land in which we hope to see our Jesus forever never ends. It'll go on and on and on. I can't wrap my mind around the fact of an eternal bliss. Bliss in this life is transitory at the best. But to be in a place where you'll be happy with the Lord forever. No sigh, no cry, no tears, no death, no diseases. None of the doctors chiding you for not doing what you're supposed to do. Heaven. With a great physician, by the way. The great physician. That's the one that can cure a sin-sick soul. He's the one. In spite of the law that says not to touch a leper, not to be in their presence, he physically would touch the lepers. He had that power. Brethren, sometimes sin is alluded to as leprosy. If so, I had a very bad case. But if not totally deceived, my God has touched me with his power. In his time, cleansed me and made me as white as snow. Brethren, I praise his name. He has blessed me over and above all that I should ask or think, and I suspect he has you too. Over and above all that you should ask or think. If you think about what you used to do, what you still think about from time to time, or whatever, And then you know that God loves you anyway. Not because of what you are, but in spite of what you are. There's no goodness in us. But He loved us anyway. With an everlasting love. And He sent Jesus, who we shall see one day in all His Shekinah glory. And I thank You.
Sing a hymn, brother.